Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
This is Growing the Game podcast. Michael Ball with you, and we have a great show in store. Steve Bryce of the Rams will stop by a little later to preview their game versus the Alberta Golden Bears. And a little later on, a very important story coming from the Regina Thunder organization. Jared Seck, the former linebacker who has a crippling illness and needs help. He's got a GoFundMe page for him. We'll get into that a little later on. Speaking of great guys in our community, here's one. Paul Waldo on our Rough Rider Radio Network, and of course, three-time Grey Cup champ, two with the Owls, one with the Riders. I bet you that doesn't get old, Paul.
No, it doesn't. You know, now that I've had a chance kind of to be removed from the game as an athlete professionally, you know, you always think to yourself, I mean, you know, how are you going to be remembered? You know, were you a good enough teammate? You know, did you play hard enough? Were you successful? Did you end up winning? And, you know, all those things are so important. And I guess alongside with it is, you know, some of the hardware and some of the stuff that you've done. So to be referenced, you know, to have that tagged onto my name as Paul Waldo, a three-time Grey Cup champion, it's a pretty big honor, man, and I'll never get sick of that.
So do you pinch yourself right now? I was at the Huskies game last week, and there's 8,000 fans in the stands, and Paul Waldo's on the sidelines coaching. Does that take you down memory lane?
Oh, I mean, it sure does. You know, this is kind of where it all started for me, and if I didn't end up going through this program here, then I would be that three-time Grey Cup champion. You know, I'm pretty certain about that. So it's pretty amazing to kind of come back to my alma mater and to do it with an incredible coaching staff and some of my former teammates, obviously, and it's been fun.
You know, have you collected any memorabilia from your playing days with the Thunder or the Huskies, or, of course, in the CFL being the three-time Grey Cup champ that you could share with your son, Cruz, and future family? Because I think that'd be cool down the road.
Absolutely. I think, my mom, obviously, she's probably collected, both my mom and my husband, they've collected, I mean, every single piece of article written in the leader post or anything on the media. I'm not really much paying attention for all that stuff. But, you know, we have, you know, things like Grey Cup tickets that they, you know, have kept over the years, and, you know, certain places from certain stadiums and certain arenas that we've played in. So it'll be pretty cool once I'm, you know, completely disconnected from football itself later on down the road. You know, I'll be able to kind of to show my little guy and you know, my grandkids and stuff like that.
You guys got the lopsided win over the Alberta Golden Bears last week with the Huskies, yeah. But they ran over you guys, and you took a physical pounding. How's the team looking going to UBC?
You know, we're looking okay. We're looking strong. I mean, that game had adversity, kind of hit us in the face right from the very beginning. Obviously, having, you know, three linebackers go down, it's tough. We were kind of, you know, mixing and matching and kind of putting a patchwork crew back there, and you know, the guys did a pretty good job of, like I said, you know, taking the first couple of blows, and our offense did a great job of bailing us out and controlling a lot of the games. I mean, being so high powered, being able to score at almost any time, they did a great job of bailing us out. And now we're on to a team that's going to be pretty athletic, and it should be good.
Yeah, they got a good quarterback, three good receivers, a decent running back, and you guys are banged up in terms of your linebacking core. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, our linebackers are banged up. Obviously, you know, we lost three last week, and in a game which you almost can't even, you don't really prepare for a scenario like that. But it's gotten us on our toes now, where we were kind of looking at everything and trying to go worst case scenario. And you know, their strength, I think, in their receiving core is where our strength is on defense, is our back end and our secondary. And you know, we've done a pretty good job. I think we lead the league for passing yards given up. So we're going to try to continue to go into UBC and do a job of minimizing that crew. I mean, I don't think you can shut them down completely. They're very talented, but we're going to try to do a pretty good job of eliminating the big plays.
A new but quite capable coaching staff with Scott Flory leading the way. What have you noticed about him here a few weeks into the season?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about Scott, I think, that, you know, a lot of people don't realize is you know, his ability, I think, to connect with a lot of the players. I mean, you got 50, 55, 60-plus players that you're rolling with, and then they're all individual players with different backgrounds and different, you know what I mean, different upbringings, and they're just different people. So he does an incredible job of being able to connect with each and every one of them, I think, on a personal level. And just from a collective standpoint, being able to be composed, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was just telling you that, you know, we were in Manitoba, and we got out to a pretty good start, and then we were up 23-4 at halftime. And, you know, once the third quarter rolled around, you know, we kind of lost a bit of momentum, and they scored three quick touchdowns, and Scotty brought the entire team in. You know, it wasn't just the offense or just the defense. You know, I brought the whole team in on the sideline and kind of calmed everybody down. And, and you know, got rid of any type of negativity, and we were able to go out there and score three quick touchdowns and get back to playing football the way we know we can. And that's one thing. I mean, a guy with 16 years of professional football and the championships he's won, I mean, he knows how to get it done.
You got experience, obviously, playing and coaching a bit, and, of course, Warren Muzyka, former Hilltop and right. Amateur player there, and, of course, went to the CFL for a bit. So you've got experience there, but I'll tell you what, your quarterbacks and offense got to be benefiting from former Grey Cup MVP Marcus Crandall being on the offensive side of the ball there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one thing, and I know even going back to the CFL, and I know, you know, speaking with Darian, he always said that once he actually had a legitimate quarterback coach, a guy, you know, not just an offensive coordinator who was a running back, you know, by mm-hmm. trade naturally, or a wide receiver. I mean, he really started to fine-tune his mechanics and his techniques. And then Marcus has done an incredible job with our two guys that we have right now, with Nias and Kyle Siemens. And, I mean, they're playing, I mean, you know, from obviously Kyle taking most of the snaps, but playing at a level that they've never played before, and it goes to show there.
Yeah, and you guys have a good 1-2 punch at quarterback there. You and Calgary mm-hmm. probably in the conference. So 1A and 1B there with Siemens and then Nias.
Yeah, I mean, you need that. So this league is starting to turn out, you know, like the CFL is, and the Cat West, the parity is very even. I mean, every team is good and every team can play. So, you know, you got to make sure you have a 1-2 combo there where you don't get any drop-off if something happens to happen, just like the CFL teams. I mean, you need two quarterbacks to be successful, and it's the same way over here, and we don't get any drop-off. It's nice just to step in the game.
Paul, let's put on your Rider hat, Rider panelist hat, and let's talk quickly about the Riders. They add Jeff Knox Jr. this week, and that's great. It looks like Otha Foster is going to join the team as well.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, when a team doesn't have any buys from here to the end of the season, those are two really good, quote-unquote, depth players.
I mean, huge. I mean, obviously, they both have showed that they can play at, obviously, you know, professional levels. They both have CFL experience. And like I said, the talent, the athleticism that those two guys bring into a system that they already have been in. I mean, you can't replicate that, especially like you said, you know, going into a 9-10 week stretch here where you're not going to have any bye weeks. I mean, it's paramount.
I got to ask you, would you rather have crappy officials or more challenges? Because I know the officials didn't cost the Riders in the last game, but they certainly didn't do the Riders any favors. Accidental pass interference. Come on.
Yeah, brutal call, but, I mean, it really seems a call on the subjective, and we were able to go. I mean, they're human beings, right? We're just like players, or you're human beings, you're just like humans, you're human beings, and you're going to make mistakes. But to sit there and be able to challenge every single play, I mean, that destroys the integrity of the game, right, and human error in itself. So I would much rather take the crappy calls. There's going to be crappy calls everywhere. It happens in the NFL, it happens everywhere, because, like I said, officials are human beings. And, you know, I'd much rather, although that was a really, really bad call, I'd much rather have a league without having challenges every series and then refs having to make certain calls.
I was surprised Coach Jones didn't challenge Winnipeg offside on the Mo Leggett pick six, because they were offside there. I was surprised he didn't throw the challenge flag, although I'm not sure you can challenge that play, but that was one I was surprised there wasn't more controversy on.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I think that's the point, right, of only having one challenge is being able to make sure you use it at your most opportune time. And that's the point of it, and that's what's going to make the game exciting, and that's the way it used to be played before, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think we had issues with it, right?
Like, no, the league,
like, we've had challenges.
Yeah, the league was built on flow and crappy officials, and we just dealt with it, right?
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And you know what? The officials are always going to be crappy, especially for one side to the other, because that's just the way it goes, right? Without bad times, there's not good times, and vice versa. So, I mean, it is what it is, but. At least, like I said, you're not, you know, disrupting the integrity, the flow, or the speed, or the excitement of the game, for that matter.
Okay, last question for it. Is this game mm-hmm. scary? Hamilton's 1-2 in a row. Masoli looks like he's doing okay. He was the performer of the week. They might get Fantuz mm-hmm. back. I don't know about this week, but things are heating up in Hamilton a little bit. And you see that when a coach takes over, you get the initial blip. Do you think that's what we're seeing in Hamilton? Or does this game concern you from a Rider standpoint?
Well, I think, I mean, eventually, they're professionals, and you expect that they're going to be able to put a few games together and win, right? You know, and going out east, traveling out east is never easy. It's not like we've conventionally played very well in Hamilton anyways. So I think that part kind of scares me a bit. But I don't know. It's interesting. You know, I guess we'll get, you know, Hamilton's going to get a good test of one of the top teams in the league right now, especially from an offensive standpoint. And I guess it's more of a testament to see what they're made of and if they actually really have something. And I think this Friday night will be a testament. But I think if our guys can go in there and play football and correct some of the mistakes that they had last week, I think they'll be fine.
That's the great Paul Waldo, 3-time Grey Cup champ. Thanks for this, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon, buddy.
I'm former writer Chris Best, and you're listening to the Growing the Game podcast.
All right, in conversation with Rams head coach Steve Bryce. And Steve, your team coming off a tough loss in Calgary against the Dinos. Before we talk about your upcoming opponent, let's rewind and go back last week in Calgary. What did you see?
You know, I it was a valuable lesson for us to play what I think is the most physical team in U Sports football. The Dinos have a reputation for being the measuring stick of the Can West, and that's for a good reason because they're very physical. And we hung with them for all the way through three quarters, and we lost a war of attrition towards the end. And I think the lesson to come away from that is that, you know, some of our younger boys on the O-line and even the D-line, they need to grow up a little bit and get ready to play at a high level.
So it's not a case of maybe physical play, it's more mental?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, we had a couple players in that we would have liked to have not played as much this year and had them in a backup role as they continue to learn the offense due to injury. You know, we had Andrew Becker, who was our only returning O-lineman, and he was out from that game with a separated shoulder, so we're not certain when we're going to get him back. So we had a couple of very young players playing guard against a few very mature players at UFC, very talented players at UFC, especially Brett Wade. And they had a hard time with that physicality.
Let's talk about some of the players that are kind of putting their name on the map here this year. Kyle Mortgat is off to a pretty good start in the receiving core.
Kyle is. We knew what we had with Kyle even last year. We'd see him at practice, and we just had depth last year where he got some opportunity to get his feet wet. But we knew what he could do, and he shows off like that at practice. He practices very well and very hard every day. And thanks, Paul. So we knew what he was going to be able to do, and I just didn't know that he could do a flip after it.
let me ask you, good point. What do you think of those celebrations, Steve?
You know, I've always had the mentality that act like you've been there. And, you know, and the whole thing, the play's over when that you hand the referee the ball. But, you know, you also want to allow the players to be a little bit excited after a really big play like that. Now, as far as well-practiced and timed and orchestrated group celebrations in the end zone like you're seeing in the NFL, I'm not a fan of that. But you know what? One player is so excited he does a flip. Makes me a little jealous that there's no way I could do that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like it, and that's probably the main reason, because I can't do it, never could do it. So it's a very good point. Head coach Steve Bryce of the University of Regina Rams. Another guy that's really turned heads, but we knew it. We've watched high school football for years, and we knew it coming in. Nick Cross would be a difference maker 2 weeks in. Man, that is the case.
Nick's very talented, and I think by the time he's done here, he will be CFL ready. He's a fantastic athlete. He could play probably four different positions on our defense because he picks things up so well. He's a seasoned football player coming in out of high school, but he's played at a high level on Team Canada. We really love that he chose to stay home and play with us because he's going to be a player that we can continue to build a solid defense around.
Yeah, man, you coached in California in high school. You coached the likes of Marvin Jones, and I don't want you to compare Nick Cross to Marvin Jones, but maybe you can. Where does he rank among some of the guys you've coached, young guys you've coached?
Well, I can say he's in very good company. Marvin was Pac-12 ready right out of high school and got reps his first year. Marcus Mason was probably the youngest player that I ever had who went in and got touches in the Pac-12. He's a starting returner right out of high school and then became the starting running back at Washington State. And I'd say that Nick Cross would deserve to be in the same conversation as them because a fantastic athlete.
Another guy that's kind of backing up right now but getting some spot duty and kick returns, another guy coming out of Regina High School, is Kyle Borsa. How's he looked so far early on? In the game I saw, he had flashed a couple of nice skills there.
Well, the word that really sticks with Kyle is explosive. He really can hit the hole. If you give him a seam, he could go the distance. And in looking back at our game against Calgary, he was one block away from taking one to the house. for a kick return for a touchdown. I mean, we really, it's going to happen for him. He's going to have a big return, and he's going to be a big playmaker in the future.
Steve, you've got the Alberta Golden Bears coming in here this week, and I actually did the eyeball test on him last week because I was up in Saskatoon, couldn't make the Ram game because of rider commitment, so I went up to Saskatoon, did a little scouting, and they can run the football. They were smashing the Huskies around. How much does that concern you? Because I'm not, you know, they've lost two lopsided games, but if anybody knows that anybody can bite anybody in the butt, it's your team because you lost to Alberta last year.
100%. I had a couple of talks with the players already. You know, don't think anybody that we play this year all the way through the season is going to be a gimme. Nobody is going to just cower at the sight of the horns. We're going to have to execute every game all the way to the end, especially U of A, because for some reason they've had our number over the last 3 years. You know, the Rams are only 1-3 since 2014 versus U of A. This is a winless team right now. They're staring at 0-3 in the face. And they're going to come out swinging to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Do you buy that, Steve? Do you buy? Sorry for cutting you off. Do you buy that? Like, it's weird. Some teams have other teams' number. Do you buy in that psychological thing?
I don't. And you know, that was. I had a little bit of humor in my talk with the players. I said, hey, you know, the Rams can't win against these guys. We're 1-3 in 3 years, and you know, they're big and strong, and they seem to have our number. So maybe we shouldn't even play them this week. I said, you know, forget that. Let's line up and go ahead and play anyway, just for fun. I don't believe in any of that nonsense.
You know, you talked about being ready to play against Calgary and about them being physical. If there's one thing, like I said, Alberta brings to the table, it is that physicality. So it'll be interesting to see how your guys match up with that.
Well, it will. They have a very good offensive line. I believe there's three fourth-year players and one fifth-year player, and they have a high school kid starting at right tackle right out of Red Deer. He's a big boy, too, but they play fairly violently up front. They're a good offensive line, arguably the best in Can West at moving the ball. Ed Ilnicki is one of the toughest runners that we've seen in the last couple of years, and they ground 324 rushing yards versus U of F, and if you don't come ready to play these guys, they will smack you around the field.
It certainly is a situation now where you could set yourself up good for the second half of the season with the game here against Alberta on Saturday, and then, of course, you've got one against Manitoba the following week in here. So it's a chance for you to get two home games here if you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you know, we also want to take it one game at a time. We have a tough opponent now, and then Manitoba's going to be tough, too. There's no pushovers, but we have to come away here with some success in the next couple of weeks to set ourselves up to finish the season strong. I mean, every game's a must-win in Can West, and even mid-season like this, these games are extremely important.
You know, we talk about this being one of the toughest trophies to win. You're starting to find that out, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, the national championship, they don't come around very often. I mean, we talked about the Heck Crichton before and how rare that is an appearance at any school, but you got to look at getting to the Vanier is such a rare occurrence for most teams that you got to do everything you can, and you're going to have the way I'll quote Mike Ball here, and you have to capture lightning in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get the stars to align sometimes, and it does require a little bit of luck when it comes to injury and prevention of injury in order to make it all the way through a season.
Well, let's hope the Rams have some luck because they certainly have shown they have enough talent. That's Rams head coach Steve Bryce. Thanks for this, Steve.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, time now for Growing the Game, and our guest this week is Jared Seck. He's a former player with the Regina Thunder. Now, in September of 2015, he injured his leg during a game. He was using crutches for a short while, but within 6 months, had no function of his left leg. Now, Jared is with us on the phone line. Jared, thanks for joining us. He comes to us from the General Hospital. Now, you're waiting to get into Wascana Rehab. Is that the case, Jared?
Yep, I have just been accepted this past week to be transferred to the Wascana Rehab Center. Still waiting. I'm not sure when, but that will be my new home for the next little while.
So take me back to 2015, Jared, and the injury goes down, and you're a football guy. You're a tough football guy who was very active in the community, helping kids out and such. So you're injured. You're on crutches. When did you start to notice that things were kind of funny, that it wasn't a normal injury?
Well, originally we thought it was an ACL injury, but I had that checked by a team surgeon, and they said nothing was really wrong with my leg, just a soft tissue injury. But about 4 months in, my knee was just not, it just wasn't getting healthy. I was able to start to do some rehab, but it just eventually started going downhill. Within 6 months, I was starting to use crutches.
Diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome. Now the pain basically lasts 24 hours a day. It's hard for us to know what you're going through. In fact, nobody could say, I know what you're going through. Very few people. But just kind of try to describe to our listeners what your day's like, what kind of pain you're going through, Jared.
So, like I said, my pain's constant. It's a burning pain. Feels like your body's on fire. A lot of times, feels like my bones are being crushed. Muscles are being torn off my limbs. Sometimes it feels like I'm being stabbed with shards of glass. That's usually glass 24/7. Even if I'm able to get an hour of sleep, usually when I wake up, the pain is just that much more amplified.
Jared Seck joining us, former Thunder player who has been diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome. Now, have you been told by the doctors, like, how many people have this? It's got to be very, very, in very extreme cases.
Yes, it just recently got recognized as a rare disease. Yeah, it's probably one in maybe 40,000 that are being diagnosed with this disorder. There's many cases that are not diagnosed just because there's really no tool or test or a way to figure out why you have this disease.
They say that it's the most painful condition ever recorded, and you so accurately and painfully describe what you're going through. Now, in terms of where you're at right now, in terms of pain, are you? I heard at one point you're basically immobilized, like your limbs are, you're basically almost paralyzed. Is that the case, Jared?
Yes. Both my legs and left arm don't have any function. I can wiggle my toes slightly, but that is about it for movement.
Now, in terms of treatment, what treatments are out there, Jared, and have you exhausted all treatments here in Regina and Saskatchewan, for that matter?
We started off with the basic physical therapy, as well as a lot of medications, painkillers, anti-seizure meds, drugs like ketamine. And for me, I recently had a neuromodulator stimulator in my back that's supposed to block signals of the pain. For me, I didn't have any luck with it. And then as well as I had a pain pump implanted a couple weeks ago. Basically exhausted all the resources here in Canada.
And I understand, Jared, that your family's looking at trying to get you into the Neurological Relief Center in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Tell us about that.
I reached out to a lady who had a GoFundMe page, and she had the same Crips, and talked to her about this Neurological Relief Center, and for her, in 14 weeks, it basically got her back to the path where she could walk and do whatever she wanted. That was kind of the plan for us, hopefully at the end of January, to go down to Arkansas and go through this treatment process.
We're going to give that GoFundMe page on our all our social media too, Jared, to help you out. But just, you know, here you are. You're a stud athlete playing for the Thunder, helping coach kids, helping out in the community, and then this happens. Just kind of put into words, you know, just how frustrating it's got to be for you right now, going from an active guy to wanting to get back out there. But you just need that. You just need that that help from the community to try this avenue in Arkansas.
Yes, it's been one of the toughest things. I mean, the toughest thing I've ever had to go through. I've had injuries in the football from the past, but nothing compares to this. Going from playing football and being active in the community to bedridden basically for the last 4 months here, it's been a real tough challenge, but I'm looking forward to continuing to fight and to get myself back to where I can enjoy some of the things I used to do in life.
Well, we're trying to help you out, too, and we're hoping our football community will, too, in this Growing the Game segment here. Now, he's got a GoFundMe page for Jared, or his family does. It's GoFundMe.com/help with Jared's CRPS battle. We'll have that on our social media as well. Jared, thanks for this. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we are cheering you on, and hopefully this neurological relief center in Fayetteville, Arkansas, can be exactly what you need to get back on your feet. Thanks for taking time out, Jared, and good luck.
Yes, thank you so much.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.